Hello and welcome to episode number 7 of In The Post Podcast. On my left.
Me, Joe.
On my right.
It's me, Sam.
And I'm Alan. Right, as usual, NBA during July, not much is happening.
It's the best time of the year for NBA basketball. Well, everything's happening.
We've got that Spurs domination, as usual, so it must be NBA.
Yeah.
They won the Summer League, beating the Phoenix Suns. So for the oldest team in the NBA and how past it they are, they still seem to win Summer League.
Well, Phoenix Suns can't really catch a break, can they? Ever since the playoff series when hip check into the announcer's table.
Yeah.
Amari got suspended. Phoenix ended up losing the series. San Antonio's constantly mess them up.
Is that a bit of an underrated rivalry, Suns Spurs? It's a bit one-sided.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a bit more one-sided. The Spurs have got much more success than the Phoenix Suns. So it is pretty much it's like a little sibling rivalry of Phoenix looking at them going, want to be as good as you.
Yeah.
But Spurs like, nah.
Yeah, I don't think it's more of a, they always play each other than a rivalry.
There's a few things like that in the Western Conference though. The Clippers have been, Clippers and, Grizzlies and Golden State. Yeah. There's a kind of a little trio going on. But, so what have you been up to since our last episode?
Last week, nothing much. Played some basketball.
Casio.
Another one, double Casio.
In the end, you're going to be like Del Boy and have about 8 watches under his.
Yeah. Nothing much. Finished work. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I've broken up too. But, the school
working,
system.
Working
in
school.
6 weeks, lovely.
I love it.
Sam, you did a bit more than what we did.
Went to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam,
absolutely amazing. Best place you could ever go to. I only went for 3 nights, but ended up wasting all my money just on random museums looking at dildos and stuff like that. So it's pretty spectacular. Looking through red light
districts. Spectacular, that shows every weekend, that is.
But no, I ended up going through red light districts. Had to break it up, so in between going to coffee shops, going to restaurants, went to the zoo. Just to sort of give it a more British feel.
Did the animals have sex toys involved as well? I seem to think the monkeys have swings and stuff. I seem to think it would be like a sex swing for them.
Rhinos had the gags in their mouths.
Well, they've already got the horn, so.
Yeah. To be honest, I can't even remember what we're doing today.
I'll see you later.
It's done. So on a crazy scale of Amsterdam, 1 to Dennis Rodman, where are we?
J.R. Smith,
so this is the boy that's about 8.
It had potential to be Len Bias.
Oh.
But it ended up going J.R. Smith.
Well, that's surely what you would want. Len Bias is too hard. Okay. The latest news that came out, really, especially from our English NBA fans' perspective, London Games. Now, history normally says we get the two worst teams with the two most injured rosters going against each other in a piss poor match. But the Raptors' magic, not actually that bad.
No, I think we need... It's still not great. What we need is a superstar to come over here, like LeBron.
Well, we did have Melo last season, but obviously he was still injured.
Yeah, and you want people to watch it and see why
it's such a success.
Yeah, you want to spread the sport. Yeah.
And the thing is, Paul from basketball, he said the NFL, when that comes over, it's unbelievable. It's like they take over Trafalgar Square, have all these events like before the game and leading up to the game in the morning and stuff. NBA's got nothing like it. It's just...
Yeah.
It's
the game.
By the way, the game's at the O2. Buy tickets and come. It's pretty much.
Yeah, and NBA have the financial power, especially in Europe, where it's bigger than the NFL, I would say, to do something like that. Yeah. It would be fantastic. Or at least they could even do a European tour. Have like a select games going round. Like,
well, I don't know if I told you or said to you, what they could do is have a team that comes over and play. I mean, you always get double headers, didn't you?
Back to backs.
Even if it's a road game, like we said, like San Antonio and Phoenix, not that far from each other. So they'll play the home game there, then the next day play the away game at Phoenix. You could have that. Two teams play 2 games, the same game.
That actually makes loads of sense.
For a game where you people plan 2 days in a row, you're going to make more money and you're going to get...
less travel.
Yeah.
It's not much point crossing the over the Atlantic for one game. Yeah. If you're going to do it, you might as well play two there and then come back.
Yeah, or even three. Well, a bit more unlikely, but...
That way, actually that helps because let's say the Raptors lose one home game because they have to play in London. If the Magic now play a second game there, that'll count as one of their home games.
Yeah.
It balances at least them two out. I'd be for it. I mean, we get to see a few good players. Lowry, DeRozan, Oladipo, Vucevic, your man.
Yeah. He's on you.
Yeah, the new rookie. We get, he's on you. We get
Elfrid Payton.
So, like, I mean...
It's got good potential to sort of be a success. But again, as Joe was saying, it should be superstar teams to maybe bring Golden State and Cavs over here for a game.
Yeah.
That would sort of...
Yeah.
And obviously promote the hell out of it.
I think that might be asking for too much, but at least sort of...
Like, I'm not
at least a playoff team. Like, these two teams... Oh, okay, well, the Raptors have been a playoff team, but two playoff teams.
They've been a first-round playoff team.
It's a nothing game, that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That won't affect Raptors' season because that'll probably be 6-0, maybe. I think they'll still get the playoffs. And the Magic, it might be a more important game for them if they are going to try and contend next year. But that game has no...
But I think it would be asking a bit much, seeing as it isn't as big as it is in America, for them, let's say, sort of... the Clippers-Lakers game is always quite... Well, Lakers are less competitive now, but let's say a big sort of game, like a Cleveland-Golden State. Even though they're in different conferences, I think it might be asking too much to get something like that. But at least sort of a fourth seed in the West, or like a third seed in the West, like the Rockets versus like Spurs or something.
Well, like the game last season was the Pelicans versus the Thunder. That would be a perfect game. You'd have a superstar in Kevin Durant,
Westbrook, Anthony
Davis as well. You have all the right ingredients for A, the fact that the game probably means something for both teams. Maybe not OKC because they'll probably be a bit higher than what they finished last year. But the Pelicans will be important because they'll be going for that eight seed probably.
I think that would be actually really, really good. I think it's all been Eastern Conference teams off the top of my head throughout the past few years. I don't know if that is travel reasons, but I think that's a poor excuse. Yeah. But, I mean, the Raptors, their Canadian team, we do have a bit more of a connection to Canada with England, to Britain, so maybe that might help. And a lot of English tourists, if we're going to America, a lot of it is Orlando. So maybe they thought something along them sort of lines. I'm not too sure. But not the worst game.
Not the worst game. It could have been done a lot better. Obviously, if the NBA wanted to generate more of a profit, they could have run the superstar teams.
Speaking of could have been done better and generating a lot of money... There's some Space Jam 2 talk. Now, you're not going to be able to touch number one, but if it gets good, this could be fantastic. LeBron James recently signed a deal with Warner Brothers. Last month, Warner Brothers renewed some trademarks on the Space Jam title. And there's been a lot of talk about this for a few years.
Yeah.
We all want it to happen. No one doesn't want a Space Jam 2, you know. We want Taz playing power forward again. Is it power forward?
I think so, it's one of the big positions. Yeah.
So we want to see some of that. Right, if Bill Murray isn't in it, it'll break my heart, but fair enough. But who do we want to see in it?
Dan Aykroyd,
yeah. Players...
Chris Pratt. He's in everything.
Yeah. He's the big player they get. you probably go for the people that do the more... adverts and stuff, yeah. Like Jordan was doing, and the whole point of Space Jam coming back because he done
it. Well, the product placement in Space Jam is, I didn't realise it as a kid. There's so much product placement, and this is, I'll go into in a second, one of the people I want to talk about. But LeBron is the main one that...
Yeah, you think best player in the world, it's going to be him. Griffin does a lot of adverts, Anthony Davis does a lot of adverts.
Blake makes sense. Anthony Davis didn't think about it, and he has... a very comic-y,
one of his adverts, he blocks some of that little kid's shot or something. He just runs out and goes...
The Foot Locker advert.
Yeah, quite funny. James Harden does a lot of adverts and the beard is a bit like a...
Yeah, like I mean, you've got the eyebrow, the beard. So James Harden could be a good one. I didn't think of him.
Yeah.
I was thinking along the lines of Kyrie, James Harden.
Curry, yeah, that's a good one.
Curry's a good one. Steph Curry, would he get thrown in there?
He's not been used more commercially as what he could be.
He's in the State Farm adverts, isn't he?
That's only been this recent season, hasn't it?
Yeah, and Chris Paul as well, he could be in there. I don't think Chris Paul should be in there. I like the idea of Blake, LeBron, Kyrie.
Yeah, it's a bit... it'd be good to get players from all over. Like, having Blake and Chris Paul on the team would be a bit like... lost Clippers, and it's like you want to get different pieces.
I love Dirk in it, not because I'm just a homer, but he's very... he had that dry humour. But the only trouble is he is past his... like he's not in that commercial bracket anymore because he's past his peak and everything. But I think he could be very funny in it. He's even in like.
He's in like mate. He goes like Mike. It's really funny. He goes, "Hey, can I get an autograph for your for my niece or something?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, what's her name?"
Dirk.
Hey, Colin.
Listen, man. Can I get your autograph?
Sure, Dirk.
It's actually for my niece.
What's her name?
It's
Dirk. Yeah, it's good. The thing that I put, especially with commercials, I would, instead of having Kyrie Irving, I'd have Uncle Drew. Have Uncle Drew in it, and obviously they've got that Pepsi connection, so they could easily throw in just a load of Pepsi stuff. Have Uncle Drew in it. Be absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be good. If Pepsi want to pay the millions of pounds that would probably come with putting that.
Product. Yeah, well, LeBron could easily, like, try and find Kyrie. Go, where's Kyrie? I don't know. Maybe his uncle might know where he is.
Yeah, or you could have like a...
I don't know where that sucker is, but I'll play. And he gets his kicks out, Uncle Drew draining threes. Be great.
Yeah, it could be like LeBron visits Kyrie's hospital bed or something, and he's just like his knee injury. And he's like, my uncle can play though, wasn't it? Yeah.
Cause of injury.
Yo, King, he can play. He can play.
Cause of injury, fixing a divot.
right, it's...
and Wayne Knight, obviously, you got to get back for that bad boy.
What are you doing?
I'm fixing a divot.
Oh. He's fixing a divot!
Oh.
Mr. Jordan! Good old Sherm.
So your synopsis, do you want to give it quickly?
Yeah, I'll give it. Okay. So, I don't know his character's name, but the bad guy from the first one.
Danny DeVito's
character in it, the cartoon character, alien. He survives the moon crash when the rocket they send up hits the moon.
Well, he's pretty much a toon. They can survive anything.
And he vows revenge on the Looney Tunes.
Damn.
Yeah, pretty much. So he finds these aliens or whatever, builds them up to be some basketball superpower. So they're not going to steal...
sorry. I'm dying. Superpower, go. Yeah,
they're not going to steal NBA players' talent this time.
Their girlfriends.
No. they're gonna come back. He's going to capture the Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny escapes. Goes and finds Michael Jordan. Because they have no concept of time...
Because they don't age.
Yeah, because they don't age. He's like, why can't you play Mr. Jordan? And he says, I can't play, but I've got some friends. And that's when he makes the call to, like, LeBron, Blake.
I'd like to see something similar to that, but, you know, back in Space Jam 1 when they took the, like, talents of Patrick Ewing, Muggsy Bogues, I'd like to see him sort of travel back in time, but take generational players away, their talent away. So he forms a super team, like, they go back and, like, oh, yeah, Will Chamberlain, have a bit of you, Kareem, have a bit of you.
That could be cool.
That'd be cool. I like that. Bit of
time
travel.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting, but I think as far as spreading the NBA name, they might want it to keep it just current players.
But it'd be good to like get the big names. Because like, English people won't know Anthony Davis, you probably won't know about him if you're like, a non-Marvel fan.
But that's a good way to boost him.
Yeah, but then you're going to want to have the big names, aren't you, really?
Maybe.
Like the biggest names.
Definitely an argument for and against. But speaking of super teams, this is a good segue. Pippen and Shaq went round to each other's house, had a barbecue, and served up some beef. They had a little Instagram battle, basically saying Shaq said the Lakers' best five would beat the Bulls' all-time best five by 50, which is a bit cheeky. Pippen retorted. Shaq, again had a little response, and then it kind of fizzled out a little bit. But the Lakers team was, I can't even remember it.
Magic Johnson, Jacoby, Elgin Baylor, I think.
Yeah, Elgin Baylor, Kareem and Shaq. Even though Shaq put himself as a power forward, I think, and not the centre. You'd easily have Kareem as like the stretch forward with his range, and Shaq as a centre. But anyway, we won't go to that. So then five against Derrick Rose,
Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Horace Grant.
Yeah. It's strange that Horace Grant made it, but...
Well, that's the thing with that argument, is every single one of the Lakers players is an absolute, probably like top 20 all time.
Yeah.
Mm. That's where the balls wouldn't be. Because Derrick Rose isn't even the best point guard in the league at the moment. So
yeah. And then there's... who did they have as power forward, the Bulls? They had Dennis Rodman. Yeah, again, he's good, but not quite like sort of Shaq. Yeah, or Kareem, is he?
I think he is, but then
Shaq, come on.
No, you take away the points and stuff, which is what you're going to get as your franchise player, but as a team, a person that can win you games, he's the reason the Bulls won them three championships when Jordan come back, I think.
Well, he's you ever got Rodman jerseys, so he would be a fan.
He's a player that can win you games.
Right, so we'll just put this to bed straight away. Would the Lakers team win by 50?
They
wouldn't
win by 50.
No?
They still win, though.
No. Yeah, so we all agree Lakers team would win, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was a seven-game series.
Be about 4-1.
Well, if you think about it as well, think about benches as well.
Well, we'll go into the seven-game series first. If
like, seven-game series, it's probably going to be 4-2.
4-2. I think it would... If there was benches, it would probably go to maybe... Well, there has to be benches. I have in my head it would be like a seven-game series, maybe a 4-2 Lakers. Benches, the Lakers would probably...
Well, yeah, you think of players...
Will Chamberlain and Jerry West coming off a bench.
You're just looking at the team and you're like, hang on, they've left out all these people. So
yeah.
You know they're good.
And the Bulls get a bit thin because even though the Bulls had some good players, they kind of had that six-year spell.
Yeah.
They haven't really done it. They didn't do anything... drastic before that. They haven't really done anything drastic since. They've had some good spells, but
yeah.
I mean, they've got an old man, Gervin, and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, that's not really.
Yeah, the Lakers would definitely.
A lot of the Bulls players will be players from now, like Jimmy Butler,
mm-hmm.
or
Joakim Noah.
Yeah,
no.
So they'll be your backup.
Maybe Deng. Could Deng stretch in the? You get
him. Yeah. Or. Power Gasol, there you go.
Yeah, but Power definitely choose the Lakers, I'm sure.
Tawny, isn't it?
Like, Mark, can you put on a wig? need your help.
Oh my God, there's two of them! Going against each other.
Going back for one bit, because we're, segwayed, didn't I say? I'm going to segue back now into the Space Jam quickly. What was your favourite Space Jam moment?
Favourite Space Jam? Still gives me chills, the bit where he does get the game-winning dunk slash layup. I don't know what it would be because he lets go of it before it goes in, doesn't he?
So he did the throw dunk that Dwight Howard did.
Still gives me chills. I'm like, is he gonna make it?
Anything to do on that golf course from but Michael Jordan holding one, so it is alive. So fixing the divot.
Yeah,
pure gold.
Golf course is good.
How about the movie. Ducks?
Oh, my favourite bit was just Larry Bird in, as far as the golf course goes, Larry Bird going, that's the best shot I've ever took.
You
can't be there.
Of course you can.
I don't know, the Dan Aykroyd joke really caught me off guard. I really enjoyed the Dan Aykroyd joke.
Yeah, but because you watch it as a kid, I don't think you really got that with me. I was like...
I think I probably knew who Dan Aykroyd was, but like as I say, I watched it very, very young. But re-watching it, so many years, like 10 years later, and I heard that I crease up. And I love the Looney Tunes as it is. I mean, I've got DVDs of them.
Box sets, yeah.
Yeah. Now that's in the past, so let's go to the current / future with the Clippers. Their roster's getting pretty good. They've recently added Josh Smith and the mighty old man rookie Prigioni.
Good addition.
He's going to be so far up the roster, like 12th or whatever, man. That's a good addition. It's not bad.
He's a good player to sort of slow down. Things are getting a bit like too rushed. He's like, you put him in, slow it down.
Tries hard, he hustles a bit.
So, yeah, ain't too bad. And, like you say, he's going to be well far back.
Well, I'd put him ahead of Austin Rivers, personally.
It depends what you're looking for. I think game situation.
That's the thing.
If it's a very, very tight game and you want to slow it down and you have to get that defensive stop, I'd put Prigioni in. But if it's quite an open, fast-paced sort of game, you throw in Austin Rivers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just think about the rotations, because obviously who are you going to have playing with Austin Rivers? You're going to have Crawford off the bench as well, aren't you?
Okay. Yeah.
Reddick. Stevens.
Reddick will be starting with Chris Paul.
Yeah, no, but they don't always just stretch the starters. Yeah. And, they also added in Wesley Johnson. I'm just looking at the team now. They've still got Turkley, but...
Added DeAndre Jordan.
A bench team, if Austin Rivers, Josh Smith and Lance Stevenson's on the
court at the same time. Start, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a small forward?
Probably, yeah. That's what I've put.
He's used to being a sixth man, though, and you want to get the best out of him. Maybe starting, because he did well there for the Pacers, didn't he? So, I think that your team is very deep now, even added in Paul Pierce. I mean, the minutes spread out is going to be very tough, but you're going to be looking at... I have a feeling the Clippers are going to do really well this year.
Every season, I've been excited for the Clippers, and it's going to be good in their plan, but I've never thought... If we come against insert team here, even the Grizzlies a couple of seasons ago, I don't think we would have beaten them. This season, I think we can go.
But you've got the bench.
All the way.
Oh, bold. I have a feeling you're going to do well, just because I have a theory. Now, a couple of years ago, I predicted Golden State to do really, really well in the West, like third, and I think I predicted them either to get in the finals, because I expected Curry and Clay and everyone to click. Then they came sixth with Mark Jackson and stayed the same. So then the year after, like last year, I said, oh, Golden State will probably stay the same because they've got a rookie coach now. They'll probably take another year to get to where I expect them to. And I actually predicted the Clippers to get number one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because I said, I think OKC started with an injury or something. And I don't rate Scott Brooks. And I thought Spurs would obviously rest players, so they would come third. I thought Clippers would come top, and they didn't do very good, and obviously got knocked out in the second round. So, seeing as I was a year behind for Golden State, I feel like I've been a year behind for the Clippers, and I think this year the Clippers are going to now, especially after the DJ situation, you know they're going to do really well, and everyone's going to be like, oh, he was justified to staying, blah, 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 so.
Yeah, as if he ain't the reason we do well. It's like, we're not going to do that well with JaVale McGee.
Yeah, No, that's fair enough, but... where do you think this Clippers squad is going to do now they've added in Smith and Prigioni?
A couple of podcasts ago, we were saying that Sacramento could be the what-if team, the best and worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
Clippers could be just another Sacramento.
If
Josh Smith reverts back to Detroit,
yeah.
If Lance Stevenson stays the way he did at Charlotte, that team could suck.
I don't think so. I think if that was a situation, Doc just wouldn't play them. They'd play with a thinner bench, but they're just, with Blake, DeAndre and Chris Paul, they're still going to get the playoffs.
Yeah, but if that was just a starting five, obviously if your bench sucks, but I'm not knocking it, that could be potentially the best team in the West,
but
it could stink it up.
But their bench is pretty similar to what it was before, except they've added in
with
a few more players.
Yeah.
They haven't lost much, so
yeah.
I still think they'll be
all right. They're all a year older, Helu Turkoglu's not going to do much. Wesley Johnson's safe, but obviously if you think about it, DeAndre and Chris Paul might clash again. DeAndre might blah.
It could be an injury.
I don't like Chris Paul. Josh Smith, as I said, could go back to Detroit. Lance Stevenson could go back to the way he did at Charlotte. That team could either be the best in the West or could absolutely suck. So I'm taking it with a pinch of salt.
That's fair enough. I think that's a lot of what ifs for me. But
yeah, but we said the what ifs with Sacramento as well. So
there's a reason for them to have what ifs, though. I think this
These players have what ifs, good reasons to be what ifs as well. Josh
there's
Smith was
there's definitely what ifs with Lance and Josh Smith.
And obviously a relationship with DeAndre and Chris Paul.
But I think the Kings, because they weren't a good team beforehand, these what ifs, I have to be the one to take them better. The Clippers are already a good team, but the what ifs could take them worse. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But we'll see. So the Kings Clippers, we'll be watching that game with.
I'll be interested with their seasons. I'll be watching them quite closely because I think they both could potentially be make or breaks.
Yeah, it's could be a good game. Open Court recently had an episode, didn't they? The coaches all on it, Rick Carlisle, Kevin McHale, Coach Blatt, a few others. It was quite a good episode, quite short, but it was alright. But they talked about basketball players' IQ and who's the highest IQ players they've played with or coached for. And Rick Carlisle said Jason Kidd, McHale said Garnett and Sprewell. Coach Blatt obviously said LeBron. Who do you think is, as far as basketball IQ players, the best in the league at the moment or around this kind of mould?
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan. Chris Paul.
Yeah.
LeBron obviously goes without saying.
Sometimes I think no, really, with LeBron.
Sometimes he has those games when he's 27-7-7, but then he'll have what 6 to 7 turnovers in one game. So you sort of think he tries to do it all, but he makes some mistakes. Whereas with Chris Paul, he realizes if something's not going right, he'll sort of adjust his game. Whereas with Tim Duncan as well, if he's doubled in the post or. He'll basically put the team on his shoulders.
Everyone talks, when they talk Tim Duncan, he just knows the best angles for everything.
Yeah. Whereas LeBron, he can be one of those, he can either be on it, or it can be a turnover machine.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because I do think, I don't like it when people say LeBron is super intelligent, and he's like this great mind. He's a very, very smart player, but I would say as far as super intelligent go, I would say,
I'd say he's got above average vision for cutting players.
His position, he's about
Playmaking abilities, but
he's still not a point guard.
He's still not.
People say he's a point. He can play point guard minutes, but he's not a point guard.
Yeah, I'm with that. What you're saying? No, it's insane going wrong, and I think I will change the game. He does that a lot. In the finals, he kept doing that same sort of left side 3-point range, doing jab steps, and he's not falling for Iguodala. And it's just some terrible shot. Yeah. If you watch LeBron, you can see what he's going to do a lot of the time.
Yeah. Obviously, doing it when you actually guarding him is probably a bit more difficult. But I do see what you mean there. Basketball IQ, I mean, there's a lot about it. I think Tim Duncan's a very safe bet. I think that age and veteran, he's especially the past few years, since he got to the finals again, he's just so smart. He's just so smart. He doesn't need to, you know, he can do everything so efficiently and so cleverly.
That's what you think with Tim Duncan, is how old he is, and yet he still puts up 20 and 10s. And it's just because he knows where to be, he knows when to take these shots.
Yeah.
A lot of that, his intelligence comes from being under Popovich, I think.
Yeah, because every Spurs player seems...
Popovich could have some absolute idiot. He could have J.R. Smith, and I think he'd have a...
It get the best out of him.
Yeah. So,
I think he could get a lot out of JaVale McGee. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a scary thought, really.
Actually, I just realised Clippers can't win because of the Spurs.
Spurs are too good.
Yeah.
Especially because they've added Jimmy Fredette.
Jimmy Fredette. Well, he's only at training camp yet. Early days.
I thought he signed.
I think it's for training camp, and then they'll probably sign him because they lost Bellinelli.
Mm.
So, / Sylvester Stallone. I think Marc Gasol should have an honourable mention as intelligent player guy, especially for a big man.
Knows where to be. There's a lot of it is just where you're going to be and when you're going to do things. Mm. Is a lot just the intelligence to just know things.
Timing and everything.
Yeah.
Now, as I say, the NBA season is pretty much over. Well, it is over now. We're getting ready for the next year, but we thought we'd talk about a retired player and a few recently retired players about as far as Hall of Fame goes. The first person, whether they should go in there, whether they shouldn't go in there, and this argument I've been hearing recently, it's always brought up Sean Marion. He said, great spurt, the Phoenix Suns, never won a ring. Obviously, he went to the Mavs. Done it, did a really good job during that playoff run. He had some very good numbers. He gets it across the board. He gets blocks, assists, steals, points. He's got that weird 3-point shot. Should he go in the Hall of Fame, or was he just a very good player?
I don't know. It's one of them tough ones. But the fact he'd done it all, in the stats and stuff, you could... But then, the sort of... I don't know. To be honest, it's... When you look at the big names that do go in there, but then obviously when they get inducted, other players get inducted. So you think, and he is better than some of these players that do get inducted. So it'll be up to them, really. I would put him in the Hall of Fame if I was choosing people.
He's a four-time All-Star. He's two-time All-NBA third team, All-Rookie second team, Shooting Stars champion. One-time champion.
So his accolades aren't really that impressive.
Not super.
They're not super, they don't stand out, but it's more of an impact thing as well, what that player does for the team, and what he does for that Dallas Mavericks team is really underlooked, is that a valid point to make? Because obviously in that finals, it was sort of...
We wouldn't have won with Eshel Murray.
Yeah, it was Dirk's. Dirk had the spotlight on him, Jason Terry played well, Jason Kidd played well, but Sean Marion was one of those players that never really got appreciated for what he'd done on the perimeter.
Yeah, there's a few stats, I'll try and look it up and try and put it on the video, of his numbers guarding the players throughout their playoff run, him guarding, you know, Kevin Durant, him guarding players like Kobe and, LaMarcus Aldridge and Brandon Roy, and they had massive stats of their shooting when he was contesting them when they're not in 2-point and 3-point range. And the percentages dropped by like over 10%, some of them. Ridiculous numbers of what he did defensively, let alone offensively.
Just looking there, the year that, like you said, all NBA third team, which you think, no, that's not great, but then you've got, he's competing with LeBron, Melo,
Kobe, Wade.
So like you're getting, Steve you're going to have to put all these players before him to even get into that third team, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Throughout 2003-2007, there were so many good players in the West. I mean, KG was still in the West by that point.
Mm. We think that doesn't even matter about the West. It's all NBA, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, obviously. I was just thinking about All-Stars.
Yeah. Like, and even with that, All-Stars, again, he's got
Amari something. As well, yeah. His teammate. So, personally, I would actually...
I'd say yes.
I think, bias aside, I think he did...
If you look at that, you'd go, nah, but then... It's more than that. It's like you say, when he's guarding the good players in the playoff run, it's just the little things that he did that he could do.
Mm.
That doesn't make sense.
What about Vince Carter? Both, he's a Maverick teammate, actually.
I think the fact that it's Vince Carter is a bit like an icon. Like people will know him more than Marion. And having these dunks, it's like, alright. And I was checking earlier, he's 25th all-time scorer. So that's decent.
He reinvented himself as his age got up. Yeah, you know, I think a few years ago, he should have won Sixth Man of the Year, personally. I've always been a big fan of him. He didn't do as well since he's gone to the Grizzlies, of what I've seen. But what do you think, Sam? Because we were having a little chat about this beforehand.
He's great. He's what he done. Obviously, he started off as Toronto. He's more of a sort of finesse game, more athletic, and he would sort of be taken to the basket. And obviously, as he's not deteriorated, let's just speak, but as he's got older, he's adapted his game well. He's, what is he, 8 times All-Star?
8-time All-Star, 2000 to 2007, all second team, all third team, once each, Rookie of the Year, all Rookie First Team, Slam Dunk Contest Champion. He's overall points. Oh, they don't have it on here, that's strange.
Could you end there? Oh,
that's not there. No, it's not there. Wikipedia let me down. I'll go on Basketball Reference in a minute. But 25th all-time scorer, as you said, so, I mean, he can get there.
He can get there, but it's one of those, I think it's more of a debate than it is with Sean Marion, personally. Because obviously, the way that he left Toronto as well could always sort of tarnish that as well.
Yeah, I think image takes him into account, but I think I would put him in there just for his impacts on the game. In the same way that might have tarnished him the way he left, that's not going to tarnish LeBron James when he first left.
Oh, absolutely, no.
I think 25 all-time scorer, 8-time All-Star, you know, completely... Rookie of the Year, you know, I think he had an impact, especially the dunk contest. I know you shouldn't put someone in the Hall of Fame just because of a dunk contest, but you think dunks, you think Vince Carter. And I love the fact that the players, as they get older, they get smart enough and adjust their game, because some players can't do that.
I think it's in a dunk contest.
I would put him in. Would you put Tracy McGrady in?
Yeah, 13 points in 33 seconds. he's going in there.
I'd put him over Vince Carter personally.
Would you put him over?
I'd
put Vince Carter in over Tracy McGrady. I know Tracy McGrady sort of might have done more for his teams, like he got the scoring title with the Magic, didn't he, and things like that, where he really tried to like burden the whole load. But I think I'd put Vince Carter in over T-Mac. Let us know in the comments. See, we've got a question now, we can ask them. Mm. If you're watching us on YouTube as opposed to iTunes, let us know in the comments, Vince Carter or T-Mac, if you had to put one in the Hall of Fame.
T-Mac.
Vince Carter.
Okay, right. If you had to make a 30 for 30, nothing's going on in the NBA at the moment. We had to think of different topics. If there was a 30 for 30 that you want to watch to bide your time until the new season starts, what would it be on?
I would like a 30 for 30 on the Miami Heat winning their second championship.
You boring bastard.
Well,
no, it's good, bro. I'd watch it.
The final was incredible, and you know, it was just it was probably the best basketball I've ever seen.
The drawback to that is, even though it would be quite good, because it's so modern, there's so much footage on everything, like everything gets filmed now. A lot of it we kind of already know about. I don't know if anything will be new. That's why I like to look at maybe some of the
wild
stuff.
Yeah, but you still get like the stuff in like the changing rooms, and you can get interviews with the players as well, like and then you get their nude off. Like, it's been two years?
3 years.
3 years. Yeah, so you've got to live for time where it's more reflecting on it than it's like, oh, it happened yesterday sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you could have, because no one really asks, unless there is a documentary that gets made, you don't really get asked these questions like years down the line, do you? Mm. I mean, only if, like watching Clutch City the other day, it's nice to see like an older Hakeem, older Kenny Smith, and older Roland Maxwell. Like with that as well, things happened in that second year the Rockets won it, and it's sort of good to see like Vernon Maxwell sort of said, oh, I shouldn't have done that, things like that.
Yeah. That's why I think it would be good. If we had something like that, it would be in like 10 years' time. I would have won it now, because I think opinions change after time and sort of hindsight and everything. So I would want to wait a little bit. What about you, Sam?
I'd want two. I'd want a 30-30 on...
So you want a 60-60?
60-60. No, the big one that I'd want is a Kobe 30-30. But it'd be more from his teammates' perspective throughout his whole career.
Oh, I love watching that.
To see what his mentality was like, to see his attitude towards different players.
Do you think a lot of them would wuss out probably and not say their actual opinions of it?
And obviously you can look into the depth of the Shaq and Kobe beef.
Yeah, Shaq and Kobe beef, I like that.
But no, I'd love to see...
Kobe beef.
No, I'd love to see a 30-30 on Kobe from the perspective of his teammates and Tim Duncan. But this is the one thing that, why I'd want this. You never really get appreciation in the sense of, you don't get a lot of teammates sort of big up the power forward that's carried that, not carried the league, but been a generational superstar. Like, you know about Greg Popovich, but you don't know too much of their relationship, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I want to see more of, but they're the sort of people that don't like to share that sort of stuff. So it would be great if we actually saw
a little insight of that.
Yeah, that'd be good. Maybe even just the Spurs throughout the
Duncan legacy. Yeah, Duncan, Greg legacy.
I like that.
It'd be good to go like watching how Pop grows, Duncan grows, and like learns from David Robinson at the beginning, and then obviously Parker and Ginobili come. Yeah, that'd be a good.
That's the thing, when Greg started being the main coach, that was obviously when they got Duncan first time around. When he got Duncan, his main philosophy was feed it to Duncan, just get out of the way.
Yeah.
But obviously, as the game's adapted, he's also adapted his technique, so I'd love to learn more.
He's always been ahead of the curve.
Yeah, basically that.
I think that would be it. Anything to do with the Spurs from Tim Duncan's draft onwards. And as far as home would go, I'd love to see the Mark Cuban era. Just because I'm sure there's loads of things, sort of, how he does things behind the scenes that I want to see. So like a 30 for 30 on Mark Cuban, but I think there already was one, wasn't there? Maybe like an updated one. But that's as far as being a homer goes, but Tim Duncan, definitely. I think that's a good bet.
Yeah. Or maybe I've got one as well, the Detroit Pistons winning that championship.
There was one. Oh, the modern.
The new one, yeah.
I'd love to see that.
The Billups.
Yeah. That'd be a good one.
That'd be a good one, actually, because I actually know nothing about that one.
It was like the two, like, just this nobody team in it against the superpower
of the Lakers.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. And Karl Malone goes there going, I'm going to win a ring, so it's like,
yeah.
In your face.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one. I wouldn't mind a Supersonics one, because I wasn't watching the NBA when the Supersonics were about, so
yeah.
That could be pretty good as well.
They got to the finals, didn't they? So.
Yeah. Peyton and Camp. Stat game?
Yep.
Let's go. Joe, you're first.
Okay. First, it's not really a stat. I've only got these in my head, but...
Or clue game. In case you haven't watched this before, sorry, I'll quit going. Joe gives us clues for players. We have to guess who it is. Go.
Okay. Drafted number 3. I won't say what year, because then you probably know it. Drafted number 3.
Michael...
No.
Anderson. Okay.
8-time All-Star. Okay. Played for 2 teams. And he's been a scoring champion once.
What year? I know this.
What year?
Yeah.
I got to.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, he's got the sound guy.
Okay.
It was LeBron, Miletic, Melo.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking more... someone like Vince Carter, because I knew he was about 8-time champion, but... And then I thought Tracy McGrady for scoring champ, but playing for 2 teams, obviously they played for so many more. Ah, very good.
Yes.
Damn! First point to Sam.
Right, so my one. Drafted 10th in the 1998 draft.
Okay.
1998.
Yep. Okay. Career averages of 20.7, 5 and 3.
20.5 and 3, okay.
He's an NBA champion and a Finals MVP and a 10-time All-Star.
Kobe.
It's not Kobe.
20 points. 1998.
Did you say rebound?
Finals MVP.
What's that?
Did you say rebound?
What, he's averaged 5 rebounds.
So he's not going to be Dirk. I think Finals MVP. What about the Pistons one?
There's Chauncey Billups, that was.
No, I won't be in there. We can get this.
So was it? Go through again.
Tony Parker?
No,
he drafted late, wasn't he?
Drafted 10th in the 1998 draft. Career averages of 20, 5 and 3. One-time NBA champion and Finals MVP. And a 10-times All-Star.
Kevin Garnett?
No.
Who won the Finals? Oh, no, it's not Kobe, not Shaq.
One-time champion.
Joe, you're so close. It's painful.
Paul Pierce?
Yep.
Ah, come on. It's 98. Obviously, Dirk got 9th and Paul Pierce got 10th. Oh, my God, I was retarded. Oh, can't say it.
1-1.
Damn it. Oof. Oh,
come on. You're going to have to get your own one.
I know.
Oh, it's him, are you? Yes.
Alfred Payton.
If we get it before him.
Oh, can you imagine?
Okay. 20.7 points, 5.3 assists, 3.9 rebounds for his career.
Dirk.
Sounds like a smaller pack. Gary Payton.
3.9 rebounds with Dirk. Sounds about right. 48% from the field, 35% from 3. 3 times All-Star. All second team once. All third team twice. Most improved player, 2003.
Gilbert Arenas.
Boom, done.
Shit.
Gilbert Arenas, nice, and he knew. I was going to say, also, he played for 4 teams. One of 22 players to get a career high of 60 points or higher. Most points in an overtime period, 16. Most points in under 30 minutes, 46. 46 points in under 30 minutes.
That's good.
And the giveaway, I was going to say, is he's got a famous nickname, which is Agent Zero.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to say the nickname?
No, well, it depends. If everyone was really had no idea, then I would have said it.
No, you say he loves his guns. That's what you do.
He loves his guns.
His guns, eh?
Okay, is there anything more we want to add?
I want to add a few things. Ty Lawson.
Oh, yeah.
Ty Lawson, yeah.
Went Houston.
Because
obviously we're talking about Prigioni going.
That's a pretty good move. I think he's gonna really fit in. Apparently he had problems and stuff, and I don't think he'll bring that to the Rockets. I think he just wanted to play in a good team, to be quite honest. I think he was getting frustrated.
Yeah, well, the Nuggets didn't help him with that, because when they was having good seasons with Iguodala, like a couple of years ago, that was like a good building block, and then that went, and then they sort of
they haven't done nothing.
They have Mozgov got
selling sacking George Karl as well
when he was coach of the year as well, which coach is a joke.
Doesn't make sense.
That's very, very strange.
That wrecked them. But Ty Lawson, I think he would want more of the ball than what Harden's prepared to give him. But Harden does pass it out, and if he gets spot up threes and scores, I think Ty Lawson will probably be happy. And that could take him over the edge. I think Rockets are going to be really good next year. Hate to admit it, but the Rockets will be good next year.
So their starting five is going to consist of Ty Lawson, James Harden, Trevor Ariza. Is it Monty Ennis and Dwight Howard, or would you probably have... Is it Capella?
What's that?
The power forward.
Terrence Jones.
Terrence Jones, that's it.
I thought he got released, didn't he? No? Still part of them?
I'll
get mixed up with them, I think. That's... But their bench is good as well. Jason Terry will stay, I think, now. They lost Josh Smith, but...
They lost Prigioni,
but I think they've added in a few other players. They've re-signed KJ McDaniels, haven't they?
Yeah, 3 years.
So I think they're going to be a good team. Anything else you want to say?
Yes. It's all about Tim Duncan. Why is it that he's in the top 10? He's listed about 6th or 7th, but he's probably got one of the best finals records of all time, being 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you? Would you? What would he have to do to be in the top 3 conversation? Because obviously he's got better records
from Würzburg, Germany, maybe.
He's got better records than Magic Johnson in the finals, better records than Larry in the finals.
True.
They've played with stacked teams, like Tim Duncan's played with great teams surrounding him, but why is it that he's separated from the likes of Larry and Magic?
He's not separated.
No, but why is he so far behind them when
I think he was just, for a long period until recently, Spurs are known as an unfashionable team and a boring team and all that kind of stuff, and that's hurt him a little bit. If people regarded him like they do now throughout his whole career, it would have been maybe different, but because it was when he was a bit younger, it was sort of like pass to Duncan, little post up bank shot. It was very safe and efficient and worked, but it wasn't like Kobe, you know, doing these flashy dunks or taking contested 2-pointers and making them. That obviously hurts. I mean, that's why I think Iverson's so regarded. As far as career goes, maybe his box score and record isn't as good as what it could have been, but because he was so polarising, he's regarded so highly.
What would he do, though? What would he have to do now?
I think he just needs to keep on winning, and I think as time goes on, people will just look back and think, holy crap, he averaged this, this and this for this amount of time, won this, this and this during a really tough era of basketball, because he's gone against the Lakers, Shaq and Kobe, he's gone against the 08 Celtics, he's gone against even the Clippers today and Golden State and these sort of teams and the Heat and the Mavs, so, you know.
Beat the defending champions Pistons in the finals as well.
Yeah.
What would he have to do, Joe, for you to sort of move up? Because 5-time NBA champion.
I don't think he can do, before Joe starts, I think he can't do much more. I think as just time goes on, it'll change.
Yeah, I think he should win the dunk contest. No, Joe. Yeah, like Al says, time goes on. Whereas now, because he plays that team game at the Spurs, that's why it's a bit like, yeah. Like, if he was to say best powerful forwards of all time, he is the best. But then if you put someone like Karl Malone there instead, you'd be like, yeah, he's really good. Where it's more Tim Duncan, it's, yes, he is. And that's as boring as a conversation you're going to get. It's just true.
We just know he's good, but he's not really.
It's not like, and yeah, the fact is, time goes by, he'll be regarded as one of the best ever.
So hypothetically, if Spurs win it all next season, he's 6-1.
Yeah.
Does he move up for you?
Yeah,
because he's on par with the Jordan rings and that, and he'll be have more rings than Kobe as well, in 3 different decades as well.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, he's already got it in 3 different
games. No, he's already done it.
Yeah. Then, if he does do it one more time this year, he has to ride off to the sunset, doesn't he?
Yeah.
This has got to be his last year.
Go for another one.
Back-to-back, win 7.
Horace Grant, is it? Or Robert Horry. Yeah, that's it.
What about, because Tim Duncan, Robert Horry, he's always, you know, when Tim Duncan first started being in the NBA, he's like, got to be that guy.
Yeah.
What about Tony Parker, where would you regard him in all-time point guards? because he's been a partner of Tim Duncan's success for years and years and years, and I really like Tony Parker. I really do. Where do you think he should be? Now, I know he's not a top five of all time, but I don't think he gets talked about as much as he should do.
No, he's a great point guard. Obviously, he came into the league as a very immature point guard. Married Eva Mendes as well. Lucky.
Cheated on Eva Mendes.
Dick.
Longoria.
Oh, that's it. Longoria.
He said Eva Mendes, yeah. I had Longoria in my head. Sorry.
Great passer, great cut into the lane, great finisher in traffic, because you know he's got that James Harden layup.
Yeah, but he did it
he
better.
He perfected it.
He did it better.
But at the same time, he's been very successful, but I'd probably put him top 20 point guards, is that fair to say?
Probably. I'd say maybe a top 30. If you start listing point guards, then at the moment, he's probably the players like Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving.
Tony Parker's better.
Because he's had that career before him.
Yeah, it's difficult to judge.
You can't really say that, but at the moment, he's not the best in the league, or one of the best in the league.
But if you look at a career, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's an interesting discussion. I think I might, before next episode, have a look at point guards and do a bit of a list, and we can do a bit of a point guard list maybe next week.
Yeah,
sounds good. Can we change the Sixth Man of the Year award to the Manu Ginobili award?
I don't know.
Because he has been the greatest sixth man of all time.
There's a Kevin McHale argument. Kevin McHale's a better player than Manu Ginobili, but Kevin McHale wasn't a sixth man for as long.
Because it's like
it was literally given out to Crawford.
You should be starting the most players who win it should be starting a lot of the time. And it's sixth man should be someone who comes off the bench, who
a role like role player of the year.
Yeah, not
that would be better.
Not sixth man. Yeah. It's like Crawford should start really.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Redick is good. I don't know.
Manny should have always started, but he was there to run the second offense. I think Jason Terry, he should have started. I mean, we had Deshaun Stevenson and Barea starting during the playoffs for us, and Jason Terry was killing it. So there's that argument, but
the trophy should just be his ball patch.
Trying to catch it in the light. Okay, I think we're done.
Yep.
Okay, we're done.
B.A.
Okay, we'll talk about him quickly. B.A.5, I think is his actual name. Is this guy taking over sort of NBA Twitter at the moment, just doing basketball impressions. If you haven't seen him, check him out. I'm sure it's B.A.5. Yeah. He's on YouTube and Vine and Twitter and everything. Who's been his best impression so far? Because he's done a lot of the big players.
I just like Tim Duncan hook. He's so spot on. It was great.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook.
I think Russell Westbrook, the thing that took him over the edge and made him famous, didn't he? Especially the way he shot the three.
Yeah.
Just that.
The contested one. Yeah. The dunk, and obviously last season with Russell Westbrook not getting a high five, he actually acted that perfectly as well.
I think he did that well.
James Harden was a good one.
James Harden was a good one, especially when he got the cooking pot out. But the, I've really liked, it was the shortest one he'd done, but the Swaggy P, Nick Young one. The time when he finally got round to taking a second shot and doing the pose, that did make me laugh. He's got to do Kobe next, doesn't he? Kobe's too easy to do. He has to do it.
Kobe, you can do.
Taking contested shots ridiculously amount of times.
Who would you do? If you had to do an impression,
do Kevin Garnett. Be an easy one.
Kevin Garnett.
Just very loud.
Yeah. Aggressive.
Lance Stevenson.
Oh, Lance Stevenson has to be done. I love Dirk because I could just see him fading away off like his roof and landing in this swimming pool, just constantly going back. But that could be a good one. He's already done Duncan. He's done Harden.
Yeah, he's done Derrick Rose as well. I've not seen that.
Yeah, I think Lance has got to be it. Maybe Rolando Blackman. We'll see. He does one like every day, doesn't he? So.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, but definitely check him out. He's getting us through the NBA off season because it has been tough. It's killing me. It's really killing me.
Somehow we've just spoken for about an hour, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Considering we started this and was like, we're going to be done for in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how good in the post podcast is. It's just, you know, constant NBA quality.
We're talking about Space Jam for about 20 minutes.
Hello. But that's probably the shortest we've ever spoke about Space Jam in a spell.
Yeah, it's true.
Exactly. All right, then. Follow us on Twitter, Alan in the Post, Joe in the Post, Sam in the Post, and In the Post Pod. They're our Twitter handles. If you watch us on YouTube, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, In the Post Podcast. If you're listening to us on iTunes, watch us on YouTube. I do a lot of editing. It's hard work. Watch it. And give us feedback. Leave comments. And if you want us to talk about anything or what you like, what you don't like, let us know. It's appreciated. Until then, I'll see you in episode 8.